WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday. That's right, TGIF. It is February 24th, 2017, and we are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We are going to have some fun throughout this hour here on WKAR AM 870, as, of course, we will recap what took place last night at the Breslin Center as Tom Izzo and his Michigan State men's basketball team picked up a pretty big W over Nebraska. We'll talk about how Izzo and company were able to rebound after the loss to Purdue last weekend. You don't want to miss that. We'll have post-game coverage as well as plenty of discussion centered on that game. We will also invite to the show Current Sports intern David Greenberg, who will be live in studio with us. David is also a part of the Michigan State baseball team, as the Michigan State baseball team right now undergoes yet another weekend series to begin the season. We'll give you a preview of that series. We will also have not one but two guests on today's Current Sports, as we will chat with Matt Holsworth of the Princess Lacey's Legacy Foundation. He is, of course, the father of the late Lacey Holsworth, the young Michigan State men's basketball fanatic who, of course, passed away, sadly, at the age of 8 years old, almost 3 years ago, after a hard-fought battle with cancer. Matt will join me live in studio to talk about the Princess Lacey's Legacy Foundation fundraiser that will be taking place this weekend. And we'll also have some fun with John Sloan III, who is a local actor in the famous Disney production, The Lion King, which is currently performing at the Detroit Opera House, downtown Detroit, until the end of this weekend. He is also the founder of the Helping Hands campaign. So we'll dive into a cool correlation between athletics and the performing arts. You don't want to miss that and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners with the help of Current Sports PAs Romero Hardy and Ian Hawley. All right, we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team. The Spartans seem to be clicking on just about all cylinders, with Aaron Harris out for the remainder of the year. The Spartans, of course, need all the help they can get. Miles Bridges and Nick Ward led the team last night in points scored with 20 points apiece. Fellow freshie classmate Josh Langford came in with a huge 17-point performance, a career high for Langford. After last night's 88-72 victory over the Nebraska Cornhuskers, the Spartans have just three more games remaining in the regular season. A home game against ranked number 16 Wisconsin on Sunday, which took a loss to Ohio State last night, along with two road games, Illinois and 24th ranked Maryland. Winning all three of those games will, of course, put the Spartans in the NCAA tourney and hopefully excited to make a run in the Big Ten tournament. But hey, only time will tell. Senior night for the Spartans in that game against Wisconsin on Sunday, where seniors Alvin Ellis III, Aaron Harris, and Matt Van Dyke will all be honored post-game. All right, folks. The Michigan men's basketball team will host Purdue in a key Big Ten matchup on Saturday afternoon. Michigan achieved a huge victory a week ago against highly ranked Wisconsin, but has struggled since then. The Wolverines lost their next game in overtime to Minnesota and nearly avoided another loss at Rutgers on Wednesday. Purdue, on the other hand, has been red steaming hot. The Boilermakers have won their last six contests, with wins over then-ranked Northwestern and Maryland, playing behind star sophomore Caleb Biggie Swanigan. Purdue is looking to close out the regular season on a good note, hoping for a high seed in the Big Ten tournament. Game time for Michigan and Purdue is scheduled for 4 p.m. tomorrow. That game can be viewed on ESPN2. And yeah, it will be senior day for the Michigan Wolverines as well. Romero Hardy, take it away, my man.
All right, we got the MSU women's basketball team gearing up this Sunday to play Nebraska. So far, they're coming off a 3-game win streak, looking to make it 4 on Sunday. A win on Sunday will put MSU at 10-6 for the conference. Playing a Nebraska team is at the bottom of the conference with a 2-13 record. Hopefully, this game will be a little easy for them to finish out the season strong. Tori Janikowska is averaging 24.3 points a game so far in these last 3 games that they won. To go along with her, Brandy AG and her ability to get hot at any time can put the Spartans in a good seed in the Big Ten tournament. That game can be viewed on Big Ten Network at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Gearing up for the baseball team here in East Lansing, they're looking to continue their winning tradition as head coach Jake Voss looks to improve his 268-win record as an MSU head coach. Must have told the team something early this season, as their first series was a blowout against
Abilene Christian.
In a 4-game series, the biggest victory was 14-5. They're gearing up this weekend to head to Greensboro, North Carolina, to take on UNC of Greensboro. This will be a 3-game series, and the Spartans are the heavy favorite in all 3 games, seeing this is kind of warm up to the actual season. Softball, on the other hand, has a couple more games under their belt. So far, they're 7-2 for the season with junior outfielder Leah Forrester leading the team in batting average, so far batting .500 for the season. She looks to keep this number going all the way up starting today as the Spartans gear up to play a 3-game series against Loyola Marymount in Los Angeles, California. The first game will start today at 4 o'clock p.m.
All right. Thank you, Romero. What about you, Ian? What you got over there, my man?
All right, the Michigan State men's hockey team will face another tough opponent this weekend in Penn State. The Spartans' last contest was against Ohio State, who possesses the second highest scoring offense in college hockey, only behind the Nittany Lions. Penn State averages 4.1 goals per game and 46 shots on goal. So to give you a little perspective, Ohio State at number 2 shoots the same amount of goals, but only 30.2 shots. So Penn State's really rolling right now. The Nittany Lions, however, did lose both of their games in a 2-game home series against Minnesota last weekend. In their final home games this weekend, the Michigan State seniors will look to leave their mark. William Hogg and Joe Cox have been the most productive seniors for Michigan State this year, accounting for a combined 25 points. The game between MSU and Penn State will be played tomorrow and today at Munn Ice Arena, both games scheduled for 7 p.m. Moving on, Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll has been elected to the Michigan Golf Hall of Fame. She has been the women's head coach for 20 years here and has helped the Spartans reach 17 NCAA regional appearances, 10 trips to the NCAA championships, and 5 Big Ten titles. She and the other 5 inductees will be enshrined on June 3rd at the Ferris State University Katke Golf Club.
Big news there. Congratulations to Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll. Thank you, Romero. Thank you, Ian. Moving along here, the Detroit Pistons rallied around KCP. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope last night to defeat the Charlotte Hornets. 114-108 in OT. KCP scored the last 11 points for the Pistons in regulation. And the D, which was behind by 18 in the third quarter, never trailed in overtime. Charlotte led 85-70 at the start of the fourth. But get this, missed 14 of its first 15 shots in the period, enabling the Pistons to cut the lead. Now, KCP was fantastic. He scored 33 for the Pistons. Tobias Harris, also great, added 25 on his own. Kemba Walker, gosh, I love watching Kemba Walker play. He scored 34 for the Hornets, but it was not enough. The Pistons took a 1.5 game lead over the Milwaukee Bucks for the 8th and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Charlotte fell 3.5 games in back and has lost 12 of its last 13 games. I also want to note this. Isaac, I saw your New Orleans Pelicans last night. Boogie Cousins, a great start to his career with the Pelicans, even though it was a blowout loss to Houston. Good game, though. Fun game.
Well, I'm happy to see you contextualize that because, yeah, you can't expect it to mesh all together.
Of course.
Also, the Houston Rockets unbelievable team. Boy, they shoot threes like nobody I've ever seen before, on pace to set their NBA record for three-point field goals in the season.
For sure. Also, I love James Harden, but that was a great block from Boogie Cousins on James Harden. Great play there. All right, and to close out things, the first injury in spring training has hit home for our Detroit Tigers. That's right, Tyler Collins, who is an outfielder for the Tigers, he strained his lat while doing a few throwing drills earlier this week. Collins and Tigers manager Brad Ausmus are both very optimistic about the injury. Ausmus does not see this as a huge setback for the team, and he expects Collins to be fully ready by opening day. So much to get to, so little time. Let's stop wasting it. Let's start the show.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be an experiment. I mean, I plan on starting Elvin. I don't want to change the lineup for the 58th time this year, so I'll just kind of keep it like it is.
Yeah, of course. You know, you got to have a sense of urgency. You know, just to be honest, you know, we needed this game tonight. If we didn't get this game, you know, things would be questionable, but we need this game. We need this game on Sunday as well. But yeah, everybody has to have a sense of urgency. You know, seeing all the past, Coach Izzo's teams, all his teams get better around March, I feel like we're becoming a better team. You know, we're taking big steps. We just have to keep on going. And, you know, this game is behind us now, and we have to get ready for Wisconsin.
Josh, where were the emotions before you guys took the court, knowing that this is the first game without Aaron Harris?
You know, it was tough. You know, seeing Aaron off on the sideline like that. But, you know, we knew what we had to do. We knew we had to come together as a team and just pick it up even more. And that's what we did tonight.
That's how you start a show. A little Katy Perry and Skip Marley for you on this Friday, February 24th, 2017. So glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, we've got a fire show for you all out there. If you want to be a part of it, you know how you can weigh in. Facebook.com/Current Sports, where we are currently live streaming the show like we usually do each and every weekday. You can also weigh in via Twitter at WKAR_sports. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What a night it was last night at the Breslin Center, the Michigan State men's basketball team getting its ninth win of the Big Ten season. How huge is that? Heading into a weekend game, senior night, I might add, as I talked about in our quick hit headliners, Alvin Ailes III, Matt Van Dyke, Aaron Harris, all to be honored after that matchup. But this was huge because you play a Wisconsin team that is among one of the best in the Big Ten Conference. Now, we all know that, yeah, Wisconsin did lose last night to Ohio State. That's just how the Big Ten has been this year, folks. Everybody is beating up on anybody. It's hard to get a good read on exactly who is the creme de la creme of the conference. But you better believe that Wisconsin is in that conversation. A lot of people believe that Michigan State will not win that game on Sunday. But coming off a big loss to Purdue on the road, a Purdue team that I believe is the best team in the Big Ten Conference. But coming off that loss, and then you lose such a big player, a big name like Aaron Harris, a lot of people were at that greenout last night wondering how in the world the Spartans were going to respond. Because it's so hard to read this team this season. Alvin Ellis III, you just heard from Tom Izzo, and after his voice, Josh Langford, during our post-game coverage of last night's game. Again, an 88-72 final. And you heard one thing I want to bring up before I proceed with this conversation. Alvin Ellis starting. He was asked after the game, Tom Izzo was, whether or not this experiment would continue, whether or not Alvin Ellis would start the next game, or whether he'll make some changes before the team takes on Wisconsin this Sunday. Will Alvin Ellis be your starter? And Izzo dispelled any confusion there, saying that, yeah, Alvin Ellis will start again. Despite the rocky game that Alvin Ellis did have, and let's be real here. I mean, Alvin Ellis III has been waiting on this moment his entire Michigan State men's basketball career, right, to be a starter. He finally gets to start. A lot of emotions running through his mind. Didn't have a great game. And in my opinion, I thought Alvin Ellis was thinking a bit too much last night. Alvin Ellis III finished 1-for-6 from the floor, 0-for-3 from deep, 7 points, 6 boards. Not bad, right? 3 turnovers, though. That's not going to get the job done. Just a subpar outing for Alvin Ellis. But I tell you what, who and that's the big question coming into this game. Who would pick up the slack in lieu of the Aaron Harris injury? Well, I think that question was answered tenfold, actually 17-fold, in Josh Langford, who poured in 17 buckets for Michigan State last night. How big was Josh? It seems as though Josh is getting more comfortable as the games go by here. You know, if you look at tape, and granted, in his defense, Josh was injured to start this season, right? It's hard to get into a groove if you're hurt and sitting on the sidelines. And then you thrust back into the lineup, back into the roster, and you have to try and find your game as a freshman at that, right? So in Josh's defense, I mean, hey, the kid was injured to start the year. So a lot of people, when evaluating his offensive production or his overall production at the start of the year, a lot of people weren't happy with it. But again, you got to take those things in consideration. But we're starting to see that ceiling rise a bit for Josh Langford. He looked confident last night. He did not hesitate on any shot. Defensively, he seems to be getting better and better. I mean, Josh Langford was great last night. He picked up the Aaron Harris slack. 5 of 12, 1 for 4 from the three-point line, 17 points. Again, a career high for Josh Langford. And how about Nick Ward and Miles Bridges? They were fantastic. And again, if there's one thing you can pretty much take to the bank when looking at this Michigan State men's basketball team, it's that Miles Bridges is going to bring it. Simple as that. I mean, heck, watching that broadcast last night, I mean, how many times did we hear the three letters that many Michigan State basketball fans are dreading right now in relation to Miles Bridges? How many times did we hear those three letters brought up, though? NBA. Yeah, those three letters, Isaac, are going to be at the prime, one of the prime questions after this season is done for Michigan State men's basketball, whether they make the tournament or not. Miles Bridges, there are many people out there that feel like Miles Bridges could be on an NBA roster right now. I am one of those individuals. He's that good. The kid is that good. Every once in a while, you see a player that you look at from top to bottom and you evaluate his game and you say, that kid just has it. Heck, Miles Bridges is one of those kids that probably could have went, if the rule was still enacted, probably could have went from high school straight to the league. He's that good. He finished with 20 points, 5 boards last night, 8 of 13. How about the, and I felt like I was watching NBA Street Volume 2 back on PlayStation last night when Cassius Winston threw that off-the-glass alley-oop that Miles Bridges slammed down. I mean, how sexy was that last night? I mean, and the end zone just absolutely just erupted after that play. And it's funny, I was joking with our very own Brad Walker here at WKAR literally minutes before we took the airwaves today. And we chatted about, and also our very own Peter Wharf, and we chatted about that moment, that off the glass alley-oop to Miles Bridges for the slam-a-jamma. And I didn't look at Izzo after that play because Izzo doesn't like to flash. You know, just put the ball in the basket, and let alone going off the backboard and slamming it down. I did not get a chance to check out Izzo's demeanor after Miles Bridges slammed that one home. But Peter Wharf said that Izzo got into Cassius a bit after that. I have to go back and look at the footage to confirm that, but yeah, I'm not surprised if Izzo did do that. Great play, though. But this is the type of game that you need. Again, now with just three games left, but heading into this game, four games left in the season, I said that Michigan State has to at the very least, go 2-2 to finish out the year and etch out at least one win in the Big Ten tourney to at least be considered to make the March Madness dance. Well, in my opinion, they're one win away from doing that to close out the regular season. And again, you got to at least get one in the Big Ten tournament. But now you go into the weekend playing a Wisconsin team that has definitely revealed a bit of a chink in the armor. You got to feel positive right now if you are a Michigan State men's basketball fan. But again, blinking yellow light. Approach with caution when evaluating this Sunday afternoon home matinee because you just don't know what you're going to get when evaluating this team. In the paint, Michigan State dominated last night, 42 boards in comparison to just 28 for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And, of course, when you dominate the boards, you're going to get more second chances than the opposition. 18 second chance points for Michigan State compared to just 3 for Nebraska. When looking at that first half, I believe it was a crazy stat, like something like 8 of like 30 or 8 of 20 for Nebraska. And it's the thing about Nebraska. When you look at that first half, which was culminated also by a Cassius Winston buzzer beating just inside the half court line three-pointer, which was insane as well, right? I mean, Michigan State could do no wrong in that first half. But when you look at that first half for Nebraska, they shot horrible, yeah. But it's not like Nebraska didn't get good looks. I thought that the majority of the looks that Nebraska got in that first half were solid. They just did not knock them down. And Michigan State took full advantage of that. Ed Morrow Jr., I thought he was going to be the X factor for the Cornhuskers going into that game because when Michigan State beat Nebraska prior to that game last night, Ed Morrow Jr. was injured. He was not healthy. Morrow was not a factor last night. I thought he was going to be when I saw that block that he had in the first half. I said, okay, Ed Morrow is on pace to have a solid game here, but he just finished with 5 points, 2 of 5 from the floor. The kid who really showed up last night for the Cornhuskers, though, was Ty Webster. Webster was great. 3 of 9. He had 19 points, 10 boards. Oh, yeah, he was also 11 of 12 from the free throw line, from the charity stripe. So I was impressed with Webster, but not so much anyone else other than Ty Webster's 19 points. The only other Nebraska Cornhusker in double figures was Evan Taylor, who was 5 of 8 from the floor for 10 points. I want to know from Spartan fans out there, when evaluating a win like this, going into the regular season home matinee against a solid Wisconsin team, don't let last night's loss fool you. This Wisconsin team is solid, folks. What do you think about this Michigan State men's basketball team? How confident are you right now on February 24th that this team will make the NCAA tournament dance? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Briefly here before we bring on our intern to give us just a bit of a preview of the Michigan State baseball season. Isaac, what are your thoughts on Michigan State basketball after watching what took place last night?
Well, I've got to say the team really has came away as an entire unit. I was impressed last night. And Cassius Winston, you talk about a freshman who's beyond his years. 8 assists, 0 turnovers. That was the most impressive figure right there for me. Tom Nairn also played a great game. Nebraska couldn't seem to contain MSU when it came to pushing the ball, controlling the pace. I always bring up that word when it's MSU playing, but I think it's so important for the Spartans to find their groove each and every game. You score 88 points, you found your groove last night. And the Spartans, all throughout, like you said, Ty Webster caused them a few problems. But really, MSU controlled this game. They dominated it. In no small part is that because of the emergence of Josh Langford. But also, like I said, the point guard play, that's what makes the difference for the Spartans. In so many games, it was there last night.
517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of our airwaves. You know what? As a quick segue into this quick segment with our current sports intern, David Greenberg, who is a part of the Michigan State baseball team. You know what? We have a pair of tickets. Our last pair of tickets that we will be giving away for the Michigan State men's basketball regular season. Seeing as though, again, Sunday is senior night for Michigan State. You know, I want to play a quick snippet here, Isaac. Can we cue up this legendary bite?
Lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land.
I must say, every time I hear that, I do kind of get antsy and get goosebumps. That's one of my favorite bites in sports. One more time, Isaac.
Lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land.
Oh my gosh, yes. That voice is legendary in the world of baseball. And you know what? In honor of baseball, in honor of spring training, I'm going to give away our tickets like this, Isaac. If the very first caller that calls in and can tell me whose voice is that, pretty easy. This is a layup. All right, folks? The tickets are yours to check out the Michigan State men's basketball team as they will play Wisconsin on Sunday afternoon. Just tell me who the voice is. One of the most famous voices in all of sports history. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's talk some baseball right now. Later on this hour, I'm going to bring up a brief conversation on the Detroit Tigers. Yesterday was the exhibition before the official exhibition for spring training baseball for the Detroit Tigers out in Lakeland, Florida. But right now, I want to talk about the Michigan State baseball team. Right now, we have David Greenberg live here in Studio S. David is our fantastic current sports intern. He's done a great job this entire year. He actually was in the house and shot footage, which you'll get the chance to see later on via Facebook.com/current sports. He shot footage of the Michigan State win over Nebraska last night. He's a jack of all trades. And again, member of the MSU baseball team, David Greenberg, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, David?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, dude. First off, I know you had some brief thoughts on the Michigan State men's basketball win, seeing as though you were there covering that game for us. What are your thoughts on the Michigan State men's basketball team?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, you talked a little bit about, you know, I definitely feel that Jeff's really found his role and found his shot, definitely getting his confidence back. Mm-hmm. But also last night, it was kind of interesting. When Miles went up for one of his free throws, the entire Izone started chanting "One more year" for him.
You could hear that through the broadcast.
They want him back, and we definitely want him back. So.
They definitely want him back. But Spartan Nation definitely wants him back. I just think that if he's a lottery pick, which he could possibly be,
yep,
you gotta go. You gotta chuck the deuces up. All right, well, David, Michigan State men's baseball, again, we'll go into the weekend series that they are currently embarking on right now in just a moment. But last weekend, they begin the season ideally the way you want to start a year. A 4-game
mm-hmm.
series sweep over Abilene Christian. You were there. Can you kind of walk us through what last weekend was like to open up the year for Jake Boss and company?
Well, sure. You know, it was just a great opportunity to head down to some warm weather, get out of the nice,
sure,
chilly Michigan, get to play. And, you
even though it's been uncharacteristically warm this week, but yeah, yes, I got you.
Yes, without a doubt. But no, it was nice to head down there and play a team that, you know, is not it used to be Division II a few years ago. They're now getting in, they're transferring into Division I, but they have some good players. You know, they had some guys that can really hit the ball. Our pitchers threw a lot of strikes, and they put the bat on the ball, and credit to them for that.
If you look at that weekend series, again, a four-game weekend series sweep against Abilene Christian out in Abilene, Texas. First game, 9-2 win for the Spartans. Second game, 9-7 win, and then you guys just started having fun. 19-7 in the third game, and then the fourth game was 14-5. As you mentioned, Abilene Christian is a team that is new, yeah, relatively new, mm-hmm, to Division I baseball. I think it's like their fourth year in Division I baseball, mm-hmm, something like that now. And, you know, Michigan State now is on the road out in North Carolina to take on UNC Greensboro for a three-game set. What do you like about this squad right now, David?
Well, I think that we have a lot of returning guys. We had some really key guys that went in the draft last year and some seniors that graduated. But we definitely have a good returning class. Some guys, you know, that can really do some damage and throughout the year. Our pitching staff is going to be really, really good.
Who are some of those names?
Well, for starters, Alex Troop. He's a lefty. He's our Friday starter. Ethan Landon. He's a redshirt junior. He's also going to be good. He's a right-handed pitcher. And then Mason Erla, who's a freshman actually, grabbed that Sunday spot. He'll be starting Sunday in North Carolina.
Fantastic. Were there any more standouts that you saw this past weekend on the road at Abilene?
Definitely. I don't know if you, Dan Durkin was named Big Ten Player of the Week.
I saw that. Yes.
Yeah,
I saw that news as soon as, because Torrey Jankowska, you know, well, and actually I saw it when Miles Bridges was named again Freshman of the Week in the paper. And I went to the website for MSU Baseball, and I saw that he was named for the baseball team. What makes him special, David?
He's just a really, really good player. He's a team captain. He gets to wear the C on the jersey. Just a really, really good guy, always looking out for everybody. Can really swing the ball, plays a good second base. He had a home run at Abilene Christian that had to have been 425. I mean, this ball, it was crushed.
Wow. Looking at the schedule here for fans out there that are getting a bit antsy when it comes to Michigan State baseball, what are some games to look forward to this year?
Well, obviously, every conference game is very important, any Big Ten game. But specifically, I think a big series for us is going to be over spring break when we play South Carolina. And we have a series with South Carolina and a game at Clemson. South Carolina, currently number 4 in the country. So they are a very good squad. And then Clemson has Seth Beer, who last year was the Dick Hauser Award winner. He's a freshman last year. He's actually my age. He should have been a senior last year, but he graduated a year early to go to Clemson last year. Had an unbelievable season, hit .369 with 18 home runs and 70 RBIs. Just
wow,
unreal. So getting to see him and just watch him play is going to be something special. As well as South Carolina, obviously, their ace, their Friday night starter, he is one of the top 35 MLB draft prospects coming up for this summer. So it'll be awesome to face him.
Definitely circle those. And I believe the first home matchup for Michigan State will take place against Central Michigan. Is that March 22nd?
Yes, that's correct.
Circle that one, folks. That should be fun as baseball returns to East Lansing. David Greenberg. David, thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
It's our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Matt Holsworth of the Princess Lacey's Legacy Foundation, father of the late Lacey Holsworth. That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land.
Ah, yes, one of the most legendary bites in all of Detroit sports. Again, if you know who the voice of that man is, please call in. And guess what? If you call in and get it correct, you will win tickets to check out the Michigan State men's basketball team on senior night as the Spartans welcome Wisconsin to the Breslin. Right now, we actually have a caller that wants to take a stab at it. Again, this is a layup, I think. Pretty easy. Line one, we've got Paul from Hazlitt. Paul, what's up, my friend? Whose voice is that?
It has to be Ernie Harwell. Legendary Boom. Ernie Harwell.
Boom, bam, you nailed it. I mean, how can you not know that voice, right? Especially for those that live in this state and follow Detroit Tigers baseball closely. Yeah, I mean, he would give the turtle chant during the opening game of spring training every single year. So, again, I know many baseball fans miss that, and the Detroit Tigers will officially opening up spring training games today. So, Paul, the tickets are yours. You enjoy that game on Sunday, okay?
Yes, thank you very much. I'm excited.
You got it. All right. Again, folks, if you want to call in just to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR. Let's get to our first guest for today's Current Sports. Right now, live here in Studio S, we invite Matt Holsworth to the show of the Princess Lacey's Legacy Foundation. He is, of course, the father of the late Lacey Holsworth. You guys remember that story, the young MSU men's basketball fanatic who sadly passed away at the age of 8 almost 3 years ago after a hard-fought battle with cancer. Matt joins me on the show right now to talk about a pretty cool fundraiser that will take place this weekend. Matt, how are you doing, my friend? Thank you so much for joining me.
Doing great. Thanks for having us on.
Matt, first off, before we dive into this weekend's fundraiser, I want to ask you, Matt, you know, because this is my first time chatting with you about the legacy of Lacey Holsworth and about this incredible foundation. I have to ask, Matt, what have these last few years been like since April of 2014?
You know, it's brought a lot of joy to help other people, but it's also been challenging, you know, trying to adjust in your family, adjust in the community. You know, losing your daughter is not something that I would wish on anybody. But, you know, it's also been very healing to get out there, spread her joy. It's kind of, you know, it was Lacey's idea to start the foundation. She wanted to go back and help as many kids as she could in the hospital. And, you know, we're trying to do that as a family and also as a community and also across the nation, you know, with the Princess Lacey's Laces that Shoe Carnival and ACS is doing. You know, we're partnering with them as well. So everybody's trying to lace up for Lacey. So there's a lot of challenges going on online as well that you'll see. I think Coach Izzo was involved, coach from Purdue. You know, they're trying to get basically all the colleges to buy in and just kind of lace up for Lacey and support that initiative as well. They're kind of, they're doing some hospital tours as well to visit kids in the hospital, just trying to push as much awareness as we can, because, you know, really there was not any funding for the childhood cancer. So,
well, I tell you what, Matt, you guys have been doing an outstanding job. What would you say has been the toughest part of this ordeal since 2014?
You know, just readjusting to family life, trying to get back in the swing of things. But, you know, it's definitely helped us to focus on something positive and move forward. But, you know, we're it's been a couple of years now, and we're, you know, she'll never be forgotten. She was a special little girl, but we're kind of back into, I think, what the new normal is. So,
you mentioned how this foundation was actually Lacey's idea. How did she come to you all as parents about this idea?
You know, my wife and my daughter were just kind of sitting around chatting, and she just said, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could do things for the other kids that, you know, Michigan State basketball, the community, East Lansing, you know, everybody has done for us, you know, as a family. You know, it just took so much focus away from what she was going through and was able to really help her get through some challenges in her battle and in her life. And she just wanted to be able to do that and put some smiles and spread her joy to the other kids. So
it was amazing to see just the incredible support that you all received when that story broke and the relationship that Princess Lacey had with Adrian Payne, who's now in the NBA now. I believe he's still with the Timberwolves, right, Isaac?
Believe so.
He is. And, you know, it was so cool to see that relationship blossom, and it touched the hearts of many across this great nation. I have to know, Matt, what's the relationship like between you all and Adrian? Do you guys still keep in touch?
You know, not as much as we used to. He's, you know, he's over in Minnesota right now struggling. They are doing a, I guess what they call Lacey Night. coming up, where they're going to do kind of a moment of silence over there for her, team up with the ACS, supply some laces and things like that to kind of get some awareness going, and they're still supporting her over there. But, you know, he's got his own life, and he's busy trying to move forward in his career. So he's, you know, we
surely
haven't had too much contact with him lately.
So. Do you remember the last time you chatted with him, and what was that like?
You know, it's been a while, but he's always kind, you know. He's a man of few words sometimes, but
For sure. I remember I used to interview him.
Yeah. So once, if you can get him to open up, you know, he's got a genuine big heart. So
definitely, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Matt Holdsworth of the Princess Lacey's Legacy Foundation, father of the late Lacey Holdsworth, the young MSU men's basketball fanatic who, of course, passed away at the age of 8 years old a few years ago, almost 3 years ago, actually, after a hard-fought battle with cancer. When that took place, Matt, I remember I covered the memorial at the Breslin Center, and I was just in complete awe when evaluating the incredible support that you all got from the Michigan State basketball community, from fans here in the area, nationally. I mean, it was truly awe-inspiring. Were you guys a bit taken aback about when evaluating how much attention that story got?
You know, she wouldn't have had it any other way.
Right.
You know, we didn't want to have a traditional service for her. You know, we wanted it to go out as a party and kind of as a celebration of life. So, you know, we were just, you know, very thankful that, you know, Breslin and Michigan State allowed us to have it there. And they supported it 100%. They helped us. And you know, it was a little bit surprising how many people showed up. But, you know, she'd had so much support over the years and shown so much love for her from the community. You know, I think leading up to that, and senior night was the first night that she really recognized, you know, how much support she had and how much love she had from her, you know, the relationship with Adrian and her fans and everything out there, that she was just being supported so much in her battle.
Matt, you briefly touched on it, but this foundation, again, does a great job of reaching out to children, ideally like Lacey. And I want you to kind of, you know, just speak on some of the children that you and the foundation has gotten a chance to work with, and how humbling that has been for you.
You know, it's very humbling. You know, some are with us still and some are not. You know, it's definitely interesting and challenging to bring back some old memories, you know, as you go through it. But, you know, we've had some kids do photography, a lot of golf, you know, working out with them when they're out of the hospital. We've had cosmetology. We've had some horseback riding. We've had, you know, right now we're actually working on some special things to where we can take them to the hospital for the kids that are actually in the hospital who can't get out, because sometimes it's challenging for them to get out of the hospital.
Right.
Where we can do some things where transport and make some things a little more fun as they're going through treatments and things there. So we're, you know, there's just been, it's been great to put some smiles on some faces. You know, I think there's been also been some piano lessons, music lessons, recording studios that have happened, that, you know, just to kind of get some experiences in their lives where they can just kind of focus on things away from the hospital and their treatments. So
very cool stuff. And again, the Princess Lacey's Legacy is a nonprofit foundation that provides fun alternative therapy and equipment for children with cancer. Any success stories that you can share, Matt?
Well, I think just the biggest success stories, you know, is just continuing, you know, Lacey's vision and spreading that across the nation, you know, with the American Cancer Society. You know, B-Dubs is sponsoring the event on Sunday. That's all day. But, you know, to just bring awareness to, you know, the children who are battling, and how it not only affects the kids, but also the families. I mean, these families are flipped upside down and sideways and turned around, losing jobs, not able to work, splitting their families up, divorce rates afterwards. You know, it's just been, it's a challenge all the way around. And to be able to turn some of the larger sports organizations towards focusing on the childhood side of it to help find a cure for that, you know, with the Laces and Coaches versus Cancer, I think it's kind of the biggest success story, I think, and it will continue.
For sure. Matt, before we get you out of here, can you tell us about the fundraiser this weekend?
Yeah, you know, this is our third annual. We're having it at B-Dubs. Starts at 11 a.m. till 2 a.m., so it goes all day. There'll be some face painting from 2 to 6. There will be, we're actually going to have a craft table there where if you bring your kids in, they can actually do Lacey Love cards, where they're actually going to take those. We're going to take those into the hospital, get to the kids there to kind of help support them, bring some smiles to their faces as well. So the community can kind of be involved with kind of supporting the kids in the hospital as well. There will also be just a ton of things going on. We'll also have our clothing there that help raise funds for the foundation. There's also things available online. You can check out at PrincessLacey'sLegacy.com, and you know, you can look at the events flyer or go to the store and do some shopping on there as well to help support the foundation. So it'll be it'll be a great time. You know, it's always a good time to see everybody, chat with everyone, and raise some funds. So.
And for a great cause. So this exactly. will take place on game day of the Michigan State Miss basketball game. So hey, before, you know, for those heading to the game, they can stop at B-Dubs first. You know, chip in and then go check out the game, right?
For sure. Yeah, before or after. You know, I hear some of the Wisconsin players may be coming over as well. So,
oh, that's great stuff.
I know they're excited to be there. I know the Trice family. You guys all know Travis. So
of course.
I think Dimitrik plays for Wisconsin. He'll be there. So
he does, and he's playing pretty well, too, with the Badgers.
He is. He's doing real well. Stepped up when he needed to.
Definitely.
So,
well, I tell you what, Matt, you keep us updated on how things go on Sunday, and we'll give our listeners an update on Monday. How's that sound?
Great. Sounds great. Thank you.
Matt Holdsworth. Matt, thank you so much for joining me on today's show.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will break up the monotony of our usual sports talk, and we will invite John Sloan III, local actor in the famous Disney production, The Lion King. We'll have a pretty cool sports twist with this interview, all right? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to today's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Matt Holdsworth of the Princess Lacey's Legacy Foundation. He is the father of the late Lacey Holdsworth. You know, Isaac, I think back to that story back in 2014, and that had to be one of the toughest stories that I've covered as a journalist. I remember walking in to the Breslin Center for the memorial of Lacey Holdsworth. And I remember it was all pink because I believe that was Lacey's favorite color. They had that pink lights everywhere. And I remember just seeing the amount of people that were there for it. And then I remember seeing Tom Izzo walk in with Adrian Payne and Denzel Valentine and Bryn Forbes and that squad, and just how emotional they were. That had to be one of the toughest stories to cover as a journalist. And I didn't really know Lacey Holdsworth at all. Yet, I was still moved by it. To see her father here live here in Studio West, I can only imagine what he went through. And I can just remember just thinking to myself, when I saw her parents, when I saw the Holdsworths go up there and sit through that memorial, one word came to mind, and that's just strength. Such strength and courage to have to deal with the death of your daughter at 8 years old. Such admiration for that family.
Agreed. And when I was actually a senior in high school, that's when this story really started breaking national news. So, yeah, even though I wasn't at MSU or I wasn't a journalist yet or anything, I remember reading Bleacher Report articles about it, ESPN articles about it. And I do not say this lightly. In no small part, it convinced me to come to MSU, seeing how the community rallied around this cause and felt so connected to this one little princess that everybody knew, everybody loved, everybody felt such a connection to. And to see the strength of her, but also the players going through this who were such friends to her, boy, it was amazing to see. And seeing him in person now, yeah, it's really Boy, it's a shock from the past, but it was really inspirational.
Matt Holesworth, we appreciate you coming on today's show. All right, well, we just have about 9 minutes left in today's current sports. We're going to have some fun on today's current sports to close out this week. As we invite, we're kind of going to break up the monotony of the usual sports talk, Isaac, and invite a man who is a part of one of the best productions I have ever seen in person. His name is John Sloan III, local actor in the famous Disney production of The Lion King, which I got a chance to see this past weekend. The production is currently performing at the Detroit Opera House until the end of this weekend, and he is also the founder of the Helping Hands campaign, which we'll dive into in just a moment. John Sloan III. John, what's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing very well. And John, again, we're kind of short on time here, but you know what? I want to dive right into this interview, and I want to start by saying this. My mind is always thinking about sports. I'm a reporter. I live this stuff. And you know what? I was sitting in the audience watching you, along with the rest of the cast, do their thing this past weekend, and I couldn't help but think about sports, of course. And I started, especially when you, because you gave us a behind-the-scenes look at the entire production, and you started talking about rehearsals, which I equated to practice, and you started to talk about preparation for the actual shows, which I equate to a game, and then you started to talk about the competition between you all for certain spots and for certain roles, and it's a business. I couldn't help but make that direct correlation to the world of athletics. Am I wrong in making that line drawn directly there? Can you expound on that a bit?
Not at all. Yeah, not at all. I think there's a very clear line drawn, just in the sense where you got to think about the athleticism that goes into being a professional dancer.
Right.
Now, I move around on the stage a little bit, but I'm not one of those brothers and sisters up there jumping around with 3% body fat, twirling and spinning. But it's funny because we're a Disney production, and Disney also owns ABC and ESPN. And so a couple months ago, they sent their TV show Sports Science out to the show, and they hooked up the heart rate monitors and biometric monitors to our dancers while they went through a performance, and saw how many miles we actually run in the show during the course of going on and dancing and going backstage and making your changes, how much your heart rate spikes, and they likened that to the athleticism needed for a professional basketball player or a tennis player or soccer player and that type of that constant movement, that constant motion. So, and it definitely requires the same dedication to your craft and to your technique. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
For sure. And John, you've been touring with the production for quite some time as a singer in the ensemble, and you portray all sorts of animals in the circle of life and so on and so forth. And you're doing a great job, my friend. You talk about the athleticism that it takes to do something like that. You are actually coming off an ACL injury, to put that in perspective, right?
Yeah. Back in April of 2015, I actually tore my calf in the middle of the show. I came back and I rehabbed from that injury, and just a few weeks later, like a week later, I blew out my ACL. So had to have that done. It was ACL meniscus. Had to have a microfracture procedure on my knee. And I've seen everything. I've seen blown AC joints. I've seen rotator cuffs. I've seen cracked ribs. I've popped a rib out of place more than a couple times during the show. It's a really physical gig, and we do it 8 shows a week, 52 weeks a year. So that's 416 shows a year, 2 shows on Saturdays, 2 shows on Sundays, plus rehearsals. And so it also requires that you train to a different extent in the gym to be able to take care of your body.
Wow.
And to really be able to make sure that you're, on top of it.
Well, you're doing a great job, my friend. And I have to ask, the preparation that goes into a show like this. Can you sort of give us a brief glimpse into that? Because I tell you what, my jaw was completely on the ground when you took me backstage and you showed me how you put this thing together. It's insane.
Yeah, it takes literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people for every single show, 8 shows a week to make this happen. And it's years of preparation. You think about it, the movie came out in 1994, and they basically started then preparing for the show. The show came out in 1997, and it was another 5 years until the tour came out on Broadway, and that's because you need to communicate between the stage managers, the costume designers, the carpenters. They have to all work together. We have a puppet master that travels with the show who has extensive training in mechanical and electrical engineering, and then also painting and sketch and design, because all those things have to work at one time. So just like I went to school. I went to Michigan for musical theater. So just like I've been playing the violin, the piano since I was 5 years old, taking voice lessons and dance classes and acting classes for, you know, the majority of my life. I'm 33 years old. That's over 25 years of training. You have technicians and engineers that have been doing the same thing. And so then it's just about how do we all communicate, because we're all speaking different languages, and put that all together to create a show like ours. And you're talking hours and hours in a rehearsal room. You're talking brainstorming about, well, if this is how a cheetah moves, can you build this puppet in this way so I can do this type of choreography, and putting on the prototypes and getting in the mirrors in the rehearsal room to make sure that this actually works, and then going back to the drawing board when it doesn't. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of dedication. But it also forces you to think outside the box collaboratively and really build as a team.
Truly. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with John Sloan III, local actor in the famous Disney production, The Lion King. John, we only got about 2 minutes left here, but I want you to touch on the Helping Hands campaign. With you being from here in Detroit, Michigan, I have to ask, because I think this is so cool. Just talk about the founding of the Helping Hands campaign, what it's all about, and what you've been doing since this past month being here in Detroit putting on the show.
Oh, well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. It's about 5 years ago we started doing outreach events across the country. And it started just as a campaign of six different events. And in that time, it's grown, and we're now a nonprofit organization working in Detroit with the Allied Media Project. And our basic tenet, our mission, is to understand that art can change lives. So you can use art as a catalyst for social change or for social justice, whether it's through art as education or arts as activism. And so actually just this morning, I went over to a couple different schools. I was at the Academy of the Americas in the Southwest. I was at Thurgood Marshall off of Linwood in the Lodge. While we've been in Detroit over these past 4 weeks, we've touched 1,200 students. We've taught 1,200 individual students. We did a young artist workshop at Wayne State with six different high school kids, where they got a full day of instruction in engineering and then also in dance and theater and in music. And at the same time, we also do what we can to use our platform as artists to raise awareness about social issues. So whether it's a nonprofit like The Color of Autism, or we help fundraise around that. So it's really just about how do you use art, whether it's singing or dancing or media, film production, to reach out and to touch somebody's life. So if people are interested, they can just go to the website. It's helpinghandscampaign.org. We're doing a lot of cool things. I'm excited to be able to bring this to my hometown.
John Sloan III of the famous Disney production, The Lion King. John, thank you so much for your time. You were great.
I appreciate you, brother. Talk soon.
You got it. All right. Well, we are out of time. Isaac, real briefly here, favorite moment of the week.
I'll have to go with actually last night. Shaq and JaVale McGee were beefing on Twitter.
Did you see what Shaq did, though?
No.
You didn't see what started it?
No.
Oh, my. We got to talk after the show. That's all I'm going to say. I watch Inside the NBA every Thursday night, and Shaq brought it. It was absolutely hilarious. So, yeah, I like that moment. Just a great week of guests. We'll be back at it same time, same place next week, Monday. We'll see you then at 1 o'clock. Take care. Have a great weekend, and be easy, people.